Welcome to the Lighthouse Podcast. My name is David. We're going to be getting into the Word today, but before we do that, let's pray. Dear God, just thank you for this time. That we can just get into your Word. I pray that we could learn some truths and find some application for our lives. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking at a passage in the Bible today. It takes place after the resurrection of Jesus, but before he's ascended into heaven. So it's kind of this unique time period where he is revealing himself to his disciples. He's doing some last teachings. And at our point in the story, he has revealed himself to the disciples, except for one. His name is Thomas. And I think some of us are familiar with this story and how it plays out. But yeah, we're reading in John 20, in verse 24, it says, "Now Thomas was one of the 12 called the twin, and he was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.'" Why did you doubt? That's what Jesus asked Peter earlier in his ministry. It was an interesting story where Peter and the disciples had gone out onto the Sea of Galilee. A storm kicked in, and at which point when they were out there, they see Jesus walking on the water. Peter asks Jesus if he can come to him, and Jesus says, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins walking on the water to Jesus. But something happens. As he's getting out there, he looks at these waves growing, and he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he begins to sink. Before he does, Jesus does grab him, and he asks that question, you know, "Why did you doubt?" And I think, you know, that's an important question for us to maybe consider in our lives. And I think before we do that, you kind of have to look at what doubting is. And I think an important aspect of doubting is that it's not evil necessarily. There's good reasons to doubt. Certainly in our day-to-day lives, people tell us things that we don't believe. And we would be fools to believe everything that we were told. So there's a good aspect of that. But I think there's a real danger that comes when we translate the doubting that we have in people in the world and we move that over to doubts in God. And I think that's what Jesus was addressing there. So if we look at, you know, what are some reasons why we do that? Well, if you look at Thomas, in his case, I think one kind of clear thing that seems to be his problem is he's a little arrogant. He has this concept that it's not so much, "I don't believe your account of seeing Jesus." It's more, "I have to see Jesus personally to ever believe. God's got to come to me." And that's a bit of an arrogant stance. And I think when we take that stance, it can definitely lead to doubting in God. If you look back at the story with Peter, I think it was a different concept where he was looking at these waves and he was looking at these bad things that could happen to him. And the fear of those things led to him doubting Jesus. So that idea of what the world could do to me can also lead to doubting God. And then, you know, back to Thomas, I think there's maybe a hint of something else going on in Thomas where he indicates, "I want to see the wounds Jesus received." And I think possibly there's this aspect of grief in Thomas where, "I saw what they did to my friend, how brutally they tortured him and killed him. And I don't believe anybody could come back from that." And that grief, I think, can also lead to it. But the story goes on. In verse 26, it says, "8 days later, his disciples were in sight again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.' And Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" So here we see the grand conclusion. Jesus does show up. It's some times later. It's about 8 days later that he comes. And he reveals that, "I have heard everything you said, Thomas. I was listening in and I know that you want to see me. And here I am." And I like his ending of that, though. He says, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." And I think that's very important for us. I think, you know, we can live in a world where belief isn't so much seen as an act, but as a byproduct. Right, I absorb facts, I absorb information, and that influences what I believe. So the belief comes in right at the end of everything else I've conglomerated. But Jesus seems to indicate something else. He indicates that, no, you have the power to believe or not believe something. That is in your control, and you have the power to act on that, which is kind of an interesting statement. I think it's a very powerful statement. And I think, you know, looking at our lives, perhaps what we choose to believe in is one of the only things we can control in this life. And Jesus acknowledges that, and he preaches that word to Thomas. And Thomas says, I like his response. He says, my Lord and my God. He doesn't try and excuse his earlier statement or explain what he meant. He was just like, no, you're God. Like, I acknowledge that. I'm submitting to that. And Jesus' last response, it is also worth noting, we're not even sure if really Thomas did touch the wounds like he said he would need to. It seems like it, possibly he just saw it and he believed at that point, which is kind of cool as well. But then Jesus has a response at the very end that I think is very powerful, and it's packed with meaning. He says, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus is indicating a lot of things there. I think the first most obvious thing he's indicating is that there will be people who arise who will believe me and have not seen me. Jesus knows that, right? From the get-go, he gets that. And of course, we know that's most of the church today. I personally have never seen Jesus, but I do believe him. And Jesus knew that there would be a people that does do that. He had faith in that. He had belief in that. And at this point, I'm sure maybe he had some sight into the future. So he indicates that, but he also indicates that it's hard to believe in someone you can't see, or it is harder. I think it's very important to realize that God knows that. That he knows it's difficult sometimes to believe in things we can't see. He's very aware of it. Early in his ministry, he was talking to his disciples and he was performing many miracles. And the disciples asked the question, regards to the miracles. And Jesus had a reply where he said, you know, there were a lot of people who wanted to see these miracles you're seeing, and they never got to see them. And they wanted to hear the words you're hearing, and they never got to hear them. And I'm sure in that statement, he was referring to a lot of the prophets of the Old Testament who had been told of the Messiah, but had never seen him. And I think Jesus is acknowledging in that moment that I am well aware. I know very well what people have and have not seen, and how that can be hard for some people. But how he rounds it out is pretty cool. He says at the very end, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So he pronounces a blessing on those people. And I don't just think this is a blessing in the next life where, you know, of course, we know for salvation, there does need to be a belief in Jesus for salvation to heaven. But I think there's this concept of a blessing in this life. I look back on my life and the times where I've really believed in Jesus and I've accepted everything have been the most fruitful times of my life where I've really, you know, taken a look at how much I'm willing to trust Jesus. I see that those times have been the greatest times of blessing for me personally, and I think for all of us. I think Jesus is making that claim. And it's also worth noting, you know, we do call Thomas Doubting Thomas. That is kind of his moniker that he's gotten. But Thomas didn't spend most of his life doubting. He's, you know, in his earlier ministry, he did join Jesus, and he took a risk to join Jesus. And later on, it's believed he kind of went to the East, Iran, India area to further evangelize, and he was eventually martyred there, is kind of the common belief with that. But you see that Thomas, he was full of faith, and he was full of belief, even through this story, and I think it's a good example for us in our lives. So yeah, thanks guys.